Hello, everyone. I see, Jason, I always appreciate you and am grateful for you and your beautiful wife and always your support, my friend. So I just need to make sure I'm live on Facebook as well. And then, all right, we're going to get into it. So this is something that I have attempted to do at several points of the ascension journey, kind of talk about the journey or talk about things, insights that were learned in the journey. However, it just never was the right time. I may put something out there and get no feedback whatsoever. And it was because I was supposed to chronicle the journey from the very beginning to the end. And so while I have many good friends and acquaintances in the spiritual community, we are where we are to some extent, but I've never known their path. I've never known anybody to even share their path. And fortunately for me, all through the ascension journey, I've been journaling. As a matter of fact, this will be a book at some point. I know I spoke to Jason about that. This will be a book at some point. So you are in real time hearing the journey and the book and all the things that shall spring forth from here. So similar to spiritual awakening, the ascension journey can often begin with one enveloped in just complete darkness. There's just this dark cloud, this dark energy that goes before you, follows you, and really you're engulfed in it. And really that was the case for me. And on this podcast, I will chronicle my own personal ascension journey, again, based on the journaling from the very early stages of it until now. And you will see in real time the evolution of the journey. Some of the stuff that I'm sharing with you in the beginning is not even stuff that shows up on my radar now. It's not even processes or practices that I practice, but I want to just show you the evolution of the journey from what it can look like in the beginning to its continuous unfolding. So the story shared, even some of the information that will be introduced, while powerful, I want you to be mindful that it served its purpose in that moment based on where I was in my journey. So you may hear me read or say things in my post or in my live related to other things or how some of these things are either unnecessary or don't even show up on my radar now, but that or that has become irrelevant or outdated. However, it may be the very thing that you need or that someone you know needs in this season of their life. So do not dismiss it. There has been quite a bit of growth and shifting through different timelines and other versions of myself where the consciousness I abide in now has a much deeper connection to soul. I appreciate you, Jason. And also in my sharing, I actually hope to debunk a few myths about the ascension journey, like the idea that it's linear. The difference between spiritual awakening and ascension, there's two different things. And almost just importantly, the degree of bliss, fun, and play that is still very much a part of the journey. You don't have to go, you know, on some mountain and meditate for so many years. You can actually do a lot of the amazing things and fun things and playful things that were a part of who you are before. Having said that, in the initial stages, the ascension journey can feel like you're trapped in your mind. Like there's no way out, like you're pushing against the walls and you're trying to find a way out. You know how you should think, you know how you should feel, and you know how you should be, but the egoic mind in its desperate attempt to be free of this moment can overwhelm you, can throw you into chaos, confusion, and fear-based addictive behavior, right? And because there is often a catalyst for this experience, there is the misunderstanding that remedying the said experience is the answer or solution to what's going on. And so the chaos, the confusion, the fear-based addictive behavior is often around the catalyst experience. You're trying to change what has taken place, not understanding that what has taken place is part of the journey, is a necessary part of the journey. And the actual catalyst has almost nothing to do with where you are in this moment. In other words, it was just a tool that soul, the divine, you know, the God, you know, used in that moment. And again, the ascension journey is so much bigger than a single catalyst experience, than any catalyst experience, whether it's related to the loss of a relationship, the loss of health, the loss of a loved one, or some other experience. It's just the most effective and efficient means to push you, to drive you, to lead you into the ascension journey. And such was the case for me. So it's never about anyone. It's never about anything. It's never about any experience. Every person, place, thing, and experience is essentially just a projection of the egoic mind. These experiences are showing up the way you imagine for them to show up. So your health becomes what you imagine it becomes. Your relationship becomes what you are imagining it's going to become. Your bank account, the grief of losing a loved one, those experiences become what your egoic mind tells you they are. And so this is what, again, gets outpictured. We fear that we're going to lose, and so we lose. The egoic mind is introducing insecure thoughts. And so the experience that shows up in your reality is one where you don't feel safe. It's all just a projection. No one is doing anything. No one or anyone is doing anything. It's all just a mirror reflecting back to your egoic mind, your egoic state in that moment. They are just mirroring, or this experience is just mirroring the you that you believe yourself to be back to you. And the truth is, they've not shown up to destroy you, but as a projected experience to free you, though it doesn't feel like it in the beginning. In the beginning, it feels like you're in a pool of water and you can't swim and you're just fighting to stay alive. But that experience has come to free you, not to destroy you. And so as a disclaimer, what I share will probably be misunderstood and misrepresented and misinterpreted when listened to with the egoic mind. This is not a TMZ type of experience. Everyone is you pushed out. And so there's no, you know, accusing, blame, or attack, because that would be you accusing, blaming, and attacking yourself, right? And so the egoic mind will further reason, blame, accuse, attack, so that it can feed its insecurities and sense of wanting to be special. And at the end of the day, that gets to be okay. That's the nature of the ego. They're just egoic reflections or expressions of our own mind. So I don't judge, but this that I'm sharing is best received on a soul level. I want to speak to your heart. I want to speak to your intuitive knowing as opposed to your logical mind. And so in the desperate attempt to restore what appears lost, to remedy this unexpected experience, an experience which can come with an enormous degree of pain or suffering, or the appearance of pain and suffering. Because pain and suffering is just the indication that you've misidentified yourself with your egoic mind. As soul, you can never experience pain. You can never experience suffering. But when you believe that you are this mind-body construct, the egoic mind pretending to be you convinces you that you are in pain and suffering. And so being misidentified, being immersed in ego, you are in the experience of an enormous amount, an enormous degree of pain and suffering that's really shrouded in ignorance. Or even, what the fuck is going on here? What is going on? That was my experience. What is going on here? I've gone through what's called a spiritual awakening. What is this? Like, what is this? And that was with the belief, the egoic belief, that you can only go through one dark night of the soul. So what is this? So again, especially if you've already experienced a spiritual awakening, and you don't know what the hell is going on, this can cause you to spiral even further out of control. And this is often what's represented by what's called fear-based behavior. You are taken over by the ego, and though you are responsible for what you say and what you do, really you've left the building. Your ego's in control, and your ego is fighting for its very existence, fighting for its life. That's why it's called the ego death. And so all the things that are said, all the things that are done is to try to hold on to that aspect of who you believe you are. Right. And so you find yourself doing what you felt you would never do, saying what you felt you would never say, experiencing yourself being who you would never be, and inundated with thoughts you would never think in your right mind. Again, it's not you. It's your misidentification with the ego pretending to be you. And all of this can mirror in the beginning that which is called a spiritual awakening, but the depth of the experience when you travel on the path of the ascension journey is so much deeper. So I'm going to pause here and say, I am James, the Ascension Coach. I help people connect with higher states of consciousness, align with their higher selves, and discover their soul's purpose. If this content resonates with you, I definitely encourage you to whatever platform you're on to comment, like, follow, and or subscribe. And if you need coaching on your ascension journey or spiritual awakening journey, just please DM me, email me, and let's talk. And then last, I have a 3-day masterclass called Soul Power, How to Operate in the Power of Soul, coming up in 3 weeks. It's a free class, but it is also has a VIP access where you get one-on-one time with me, where you get free access to my group coaching, where you get Soul Power, the lifetime access to Soul Power, and you should see that link in the description below. So having said that, this is where I found myself. I had gone through the spiritual awakening. I even knew how to handle loss. You would have, from the egoic mind's perspective, you would have applauded me, look at what James is doing. And, you know, as far as dealing with the loss or dealing with the anticipation or the expectancy of the loss, I was already preparing myself for life after. But our plans, our best laid plans are often on this ascension journey such that you understand no matter what you think you, no matter where you think you are or who you think you are, this thing is so much more than you. This thing is so much more than your plans. And so arrogantly, I thought that I was a master at dealing with what I was dealing with. And I was just following the blueprint, following the path, until I realized that what I was experiencing was greater than what I thought I had become an expert at. And so much that at the height of my experience, I found myself laid, stretched out on an Airbnb floor, crying my eyes out. I can't remember if I had eaten, but I remember getting up to eat, pulling a hat over my head, and walking to go get something to eat, still in tears. Walking back, still in tears. Slept, woke up, still in tears. The breaking down of the persona, the breaking down of the egoic construct is not a pretty sight, but it's a necessary sight. So I think it really culminated with me looking in the mirror one day and going, I hate you. No, it's that same night, looking in the mirror and going, I hate you. I hate you. With all the intensity, all the passion that I could muster, right? There was something about that moment where it arose in consciousness when I first started recording my journal. And the very first entry in my journal was a formula that I was given in the very early stages that became an important part of me being free. Now, I still experienced quite a bit of dark night, dark energy enveloping me, still experience fear-based addictive behavior, continued suicidal ideations, still creeping at times. And for the first time, I begin to have a moment, however fleeting, however seconds or however minutes it lasted, where I could experience being back in control of my mind. So in this introductory session, I want to share the very first notes from my journal, the very first thing I wrote, and what will subsequently be a part of the Ascension book, the Journey to Ascension book, and this kind of Journey to Ascension podcast. So the first thing I wrote down was, I'm going to give you 8 processes I recorded in my journal to begin to free yourself from the ego's grip. Most of the people I'm connected to now will feel, probably feel like this is elementary stuff. And really outside of the second one, which I began almost immediately and really was the most important one on my journey, most of these were implemented over a period of time, months even, and not necessarily immediately. And it's funny, as I was preparing for this, I looked in my journal, and one of the downloads I received recently is just so freaking powerful. And I went back over my journal, and I was like, it's here. This revelation, it's here. So there are going to be some things you're going to hear that are hidden in plain sight that may be the very thing that you need on your journey. So here are the 8 processes I wrote down. I wrote down consciousness. These are the 8 things that I saw delivering me out of this experience. And one of the focuses, or the first focus I wrote down, was on consciousness. And I wrote down abiding in the space of consciousness as much as possible throughout the day. This is the sun, the I am presence, the soul, life. And so my purpose was, okay, I just got to abide in the space of consciousness as much as possible throughout the day. The second thing I wrote down was the absolute / no mind. My mind was overwhelming me. And so it was how to get into the space of no mind. And I wrote down that since the egoic mind believes in separation, facilitates obsessive thoughts, attempts to command the body, which leads to felt emotions and subsequent manifestations of what was felt, in the practice of no mind, there is no identification with the mind. And so I saw my way of escape is just emptying the mind, not even being conscious of anything. And from there, having the expectation that the cycle would halt. And I wrote down that this practice aligns you with the divine, which gives rise to consciousness. So in other words, before consciousness, there is just the absolute. There's the no mind state. And this is the unknown that is you before it's made known through thoughts, sensations, feelings, and experiences. The third thing I wrote down was breath work. Breath work was a game changer for me. And I wrote down, because I was looking at how to get out of this mind, how to get out of these thoughts. And so I've researched even what's the best breath work. But I wrote down that breath work is a form of Kundalini awakening, that it raises the energy of the whole body. It increases mindfulness. It enhances concentration. It relieves stress, gives you clarity, purifies the blood, helps fight cancer, burns away disease and karma, stimulates the solar plexus for those who are familiar, strengthens the magnetic field of the body, protects against negative forces, causes you to act from inner power, you know, causes you to detach from your ego, connects you to your higher self, helps overcome fear-based addictive behavior. And I wrote in all capital letters, yes, this is exactly what I need. And it does other things, but just the fact that it would take me out of my mind, take me out of fear-based addictive behavior, breath work became my thing. Breath of fire, and forget the other one. Breath of fire was the one that came up. That's the one I need to do the most. My friend Chasen said, I was so worried about you during this period. I'm glad this path moved you into a new state. And really, Chasen, it's moved me to a new version, right? Like that version of James still exists, for those who this resonates with, still exists in another reality. He's having that experience. I've shifted through timelines to merge with this version of me, the more powerful version of me, the version of me which was once the future version of me that was encouraging that version of me to keep going, to don't give up. So this is a whole different James. This is a whole different state of consciousness or state of being than that version of me who was going through that. So the next thing I wrote down was energy work, concentrating on opening up the heart chakra, which is the gateway of the soul, and living from that place of love, compassion, forgiveness, life, as well as embodying the energy or emotions of these feelings, or, you know, emotions or energies in, or energy in motion got you into this, it will get you out. This is the conversation that I'm having with myself as I'm journaling. Emotions got you into this, emotions are going to get you out of this. So then there was the meditating on love, focusing on meditating on just who I am as love, tapping into the healing power of love. The sixth thing I wrote down was the story you give life to becomes. So seeing the 3D reality, what I was experiencing and what I was what was playing across the screen of my mind is just the story playing out with the characters that were involved, that it was in fact a story of me, and that I, as conscious awareness, am just watching this story take place, watching what is coming up, that outside of the body, outside of the mind, I'm just the observer of what is taking place in the play, in the dream, in the story. Oftentimes we're losing ourselves, we're losing our identity in what is taking place. But when you recognize that you are infinitely greater than this body-mind construct, that you are something outside of it, viewing it, being aware of it, witnessing it, your ability to tap into soul, tap into that part now, causes you to detach from this dream experience, right? You're still watching it taking place, but you're much more in control because you are in your power as consciousness. You are in your power as soul. So your character and your character avatar is not real, and neither are the characters in the dream. However, you as conscious awareness are the one that gives life to the dream. What you focus on becomes. So my attempt to try to free myself, my attempt to wrestle and fight against what was going on, kept my energy on this experience and was drawing me in deeper into it. Instead of focusing on what I did want, I was so focused on trying to be free from what I didn't want that that kept that experience locked into place. And again, just drew me in deeper. So you have, and I had the ability to imagine a different story with different characters playing different parts, and that would have became the truth. That would have became the new story. That essentially is the story today. So you and everyone else are just characters in your story. And so then the next thing I wrote down was non-duality. Be mindful of what is not. Going beyond the mind, questioning, is this real? Is this true? Because it's the recognition that you give life all the meaning that it has for you. There's the experience, and then there is the egoic interpretation of the experience. The experience is neutral. The experience is not doing anything. It's our interpretation of what we believe that this experience is doing that causes us to be trapped in the mind, that causes us to spiral, that causes us to act, think, speak in ways that is consistent with that false belief. This is neutral. It only has the meaning that you give to it. So, and it's also being aware of the ego trying to figure things out. Whenever we're sitting back trying to figure something out, that's not you as consciousness, as soul. That's the ego. So the last thing that I wrote down here was clean up your vibration. James, you got to clean up your vibration. Ask forgiveness for people in your life, Making sure you do the work, which is something associated with Byron Kelly. Byron Katie, if you want to look that up. I wrote down Ho'oponopono, and I wrote down allow what comes up to come up, feel it, and then reset. A lot of this stuff doesn't even register for me anymore. But in this moment, this is what I felt were the 8 things that I needed to do to escape the scary dream that I had created with what I believe were. So the journey to ascension is more than just being spiritually awakened. It is a deeper depth that we go into ourselves where even the residue of things that we thought we had worked on will arise for us to clear out. And I want to be mindful in this very first introductory session that the ascension journey is not linear. I wish it was. All of us wish it was. It's not linear. It's an oscillating journey, meaning you're going to come back around to the same place you started at some point, wondering what the hell happened. I was doing so good, but I shared in a recent podcast, you're continually ascending upward. So even when you come back, it doesn't have the same sting. When you come back, you're more mindful next time. When it comes back, it doesn't affect you. But there is always the oscillating journey that is ascending, nevertheless, upward. So there is the, I thought I was good with this. I thought I'd overcome this. I've been meditating and doing my breath work and consciousness and all the other stuff. But it's the recognition that the ascension journey is not a linear journey. So having said that, I actually think that I'm going to go to my Facebook group, Awakening to Love. And I think that link is in the description below. And I'm going to go live in the group in case there are any questions around what was said. I appreciate that, Stacey. Around what was said about anything that you may be going through, anything you may have questions about, and then we'll just address it there. So having said that, again, comment. I love your comments. Like, follow, subscribe, whatever platform you're watching this on. And if you have questions, follow me over to my group. And the link should be in the description below as well. If not, DM me and we'll kind of continue the conversation there. So having said that, I love and I appreciate you. I will see you all next Thursday, same time, as we go even deeper, because this is just the beginning of the road. It's an interesting journey. It's an interesting journey. And don't forget, consider the free class Soul Power. Consider the free VIP access. I'm sorry, consider the VIP access. There's a $22 early bird special for the VIP access. That should be in the description below as well. And having said that, I love and I appreciate you all. I see you on the rest of the journey. Namaste.